Welcome to the Whole Psychiatry Hour on WMET 1160 with your host, Dr. Bob Hedaya. Sit back, relax, listen, and learn about a unique approach to mental health. And now, here's your host of the Whole Psychiatry Hour, Dr. Bob Hedaya.
Welcome to the Whole Psychiatry Hour on Talk Radio WMET 1160 AM, the only place for you to get the real, unbiased lowdown on mental health. It's my pleasure to be with you today. I'm Dr. Bob Hedaya, your host on the Whole Psychiatry Hour, where every Sunday at 11 a.m., we take an unusual approach to mental health and mental illness. I want to warn you, listening to the Whole Psychiatry Hour will change how you think about mental health. During the Whole Psychiatry Hour, we don't just focus on medication. We don't simply focus on therapy. We focus on all the other aspects of life and health that we know, that science has proven, affects mental health. What are these neglected areas? Spirituality, hormones, diet and nutrition, genetics, environmental toxins, gastrointestinal health, culture, society, the spaces you live and work in, and much, much more. Why are all these areas of knowledge important? They are important because we are mired in a model of mental health that is becoming more and more narrow. It's appalling. Nearly everyone and their uncle is on at least one medication for depression or anxiety or ADD. Look, I'm a psychopharmacologist, but I tell you here and now that we are relying too much on medications. It's not that medications are bad. Medications can be helpful, and they have their place, but many studies show that medications have their limits. So, on the Whole Psychiatry Hour on WMET 1160, I, Dr. Bob Hedaya, am going to take you on a fascinating journey each week into the world of mental health. And remember, if you want to contact me or send a question or comment, go to wholepsych.com. That's WHOLEP like Peter, SYCH.com. Wholepsych.com. I want to hear from you. I will be answering the questions I receive via email on the show, so send me your questions at www.wholepsych.com. Today, in a few moments, we're going to have a fascinating guest. We will be privileged to have a doctor who is on the very cutting edge of psychology. Catherine Morris is going to talk to us about a fascinating, important concept, which is all too often overlooked. And that's how our setting or the room we're in or the places we live in or work in affect and reflect our mental health. Did you ever wonder who your doctor or therapist really is? Did you ever wonder how your bedroom affects your mood or your love life? Well, in a few moments, Dr. Morris will give you some of her secrets. She'll let you in on her inside information, and she'll tell you how you can peek into your doctor's or therapist's inner psychological world and personality just by looking at their office. So stay glued to WMET 1160, where you will learn more than you imagined possible from talk radio on the Whole Psychiatry Hour. But first, I want to go to the email. I'd like to thank those of you who sent in questions via email. And today, I'll answer a few of your questions. First email question comes from a woman I'll call Mary. Mary writes, "Dear Dr. Hedaya, thank you so much for writing your wonderful books." She goes on to say, "I'm very worried about my sister Tina. She's 46 years old, has never been depressed before, and has been depressed for too long now. She's seeing a psychiatrist under her health plan, and she sees her for about 15 minutes each visit. Now, after 2 years of treatment, she is on six different medicines. It wouldn't be so bad if she were well, but she is a zombie. What can you suggest?" This is a very common situation, and Mary, I'm really so sorry that you have to watch while your sister is suffering. Obviously, you care a great deal about her, and you're looking to help her and for help for her. So, please stand by her and help her. While she may not show much appreciation, people who are depressed are very often negative and push others away. She does need your help. You bring up a lot of good points, and first is the fact that Tina has not been depressed before, and it's critical for you to realize that people who have a mental disorder, whether it's depression, anxiety, or manic depression, whatever, when a mental disorder shows up late in life, for the first time, there is usually a medical cause or contribution. In Mary's case, I would look closely at the hormonal situation given her age, and her doctor should check her estrogen, free testosterone, and progesterone levels. If there are no other causes of her problem, she should consider trying an estrogen patch. Sometimes testosterone supplementation can be helpful too. I remember a middle-aged woman who had a total hysterectomy that I was treating, and she went into the most severe depression when they removed her ovaries. She had never been depressed before, and she was given estrogen and progesterone, but she improved only a little bit until I recommended that she be put on testosterone. The change was really dramatic and astounding. So, Mary, make sure that Tina's doctors look at all of her hormones. And finally, Mary, you bring up the current horrendous state of psychiatry. Imagine 15-minute visits to deal with a life-threatening illness. I find the state of healthcare today for the treatment of chronic disease to be appalling and deeply disturbing. We've made some huge strides in medicine, but most of the chronic diseases today, which are, by the way, inextricably linked, are very poorly treated in the current medical environment, and that is what we aim to educate you about every week here on the Whole Psychiatry Hour at WMET Talk Radio, 1160 AM. Just a few short minutes, we're going to talk with a fascinating person, Catherine Mars, founder of Psychology of Setting Associates and host of the Voice America radio show, If the Walls Could Talk. Catherine will provide you with a perspective on mental health that I am certain you never have considered. After all, weren't we all taught that our mothers were at fault? Catherine will enlighten us shortly on WMET 1160 AM about the places you live, work, and play, and how they affect your mental health, and how to learn about the important people in your life by looking at their spaces. Stay tuned, and we'll be back very shortly on the Whole Psychiatry Hour, WMET.
If getting life insurance is on your things to do list, now you can get a term life policy in just 10 minutes. 10 minutes to get up to $150,000 of term life insurance if you qualify through Jefferson National Life Insurance Company. Call now for a free quote, 1-866-612-3600. With Jefferson National, there's no medical exam, no long forms, and no agent will visit you. Just complete a short application over the phone. If you qualify, your coverage starts right away. That's instant term life coverage in one simple call. Call Jefferson National at 1-866-612-3600. Getting life insurance has never been easier to cross off your list. Contains limitations. Based in Dallas, Texas, Jefferson National issues term life under form number JNLSEL03 or a state variation. Call Jefferson National now. 1-866-612-3600. That's 1-866-612-3600.
Attention men and women suffering from hair loss. Now, with Avacor, a world leader in hair regrowth, you don't have to be bald, even if you have a family history of hair loss. Here's Dr. Mark Goodman, board-certified dermatologist.
The main reason for thinning hair and baldness is hereditary hair loss. Just because there is a family history of hair loss doesn't mean you have to suffer. Avacor is specially formulated to reverse hereditary hair loss and regrow new healthy hair. Our formula targets the hair follicle to effectively stop hair loss and stimulate new hair growth. Before you consider expensive transplant surgery, remember, Avacor is FDA approved to regrow new healthy hair for men and women.
We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Call 800-449-8917. That's 800-449-8917. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Call 800-449-8917. That's 800-449-8917.
Hi, This is Joe Perry.
And Steven Tyler of Aerosmith for Red. You know, it's okay to rock and roll and party down. Just don't get in that 2,000-pound bullet when you're done and cocked. And please don't drink and drive.
The one that jaded you.
A reminder that friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
Talk Radio, WMET 1160, is your station for intelligent talk and a little bit of wackiness.
Greaseman gets you started in the morning at 6,
followed by Tony Snow at 9,
J.T. Ballard at noon,
G. Gordon Liddy at 2,
Linda Chavez on your drive home,
the Bauer and Rose Show in the evenings,
and Alan Combs late nights.
Your station, for talk, WMET 1160, and online at WMET1160.com.
Let's get back to the Whole Psychiatry Hour on WMET 1160. Here is your host, Dr. Bob Hedaya.
Welcome to the Whole Psychiatry Hour at WMET Talk Radio 1160 AM, the only place for you to get the real, unbiased lowdown on mental health. I'm your host, Bob Hedaya, MD, and in just a few short minutes, as promised, we will have the fascinating Catherine Morris with us. First, though, I want to give you a health tip. If you or someone you know suffers from a mental illness and that is not responding to treatment, say ADD, chronic depression, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, or Lyme disease, that doesn't seem to get better, and if they have symptoms, and get this is a long list, such as fatigue, weakness, muscle aches, cramps, sensitivity to bright light, unusual stabbing pains, runny and watery eyes, blurred vision, shortness of breath, headaches, lots and lots of symptoms. The list goes on. If people that you know and love and care about are having these types of symptoms that seem diverse and inexplicable, then listen up. It's possible that this person is suffering from toxin exposure. It is important that you look into the possibility that mold, either in the office or at home, is a cause or contributor to the health problem. This is often an overlooked cause of mental and physical health problems, and it is treatable, and it is an epidemic in the Washington metro area. As we begin to consider the effect that a place or a space can have on health here on the Whole Psychiatry Hour, WMET, 1160 AM, we need to note that our neighborhoods, for example, how they look, the degree of safety we experience within them, the amount of noise, the sense of community or isolation, can have a very substantial effect on our health. Well, we see that the space you are in can make you sick, right? You can have mold. And we're here to talk in another sense about the effect that space can have on you, and that is with our featured guest, Catherine Morris, host of the Voice America radio show entitled If the Walls Could Talk. Catherine is just finishing up her dissertation and is the founder of Psychology of Setting, LLC. Welcome, Catherine, and thanks so much for being with us today on the Whole Psychiatry Hour at WMET Talk Radio, 1160 AM. Could you start by telling us how you got into the psychology of setting?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I'm happy to be here in this setting. When I was in practice as a psychotherapist, everybody who came to see me came to my office. They sat where I had them sit, under my lighting, with my artwork, my books, my furniture, my layout, my, all about me. They came into my cave, and they were supposed to feel empowered. I, myself, had been in numerous therapist offices and had distinct feelings and thoughts and behaviors that were stirred in each one of them. And I wondered, what would it be like if I met my clients in a museum? What would it be like if I met them in the subway? What would we talk about? Would it be different? What would it be like if I went to their home or their office? And so I took this wondering and I turned it into an experiment. I began making office calls and house calls.
Oh, that's very innovative. What happened?
Well, what happened was, I'll give you an example of one client who I had been seeing for a number of years. She was struggling with her business. She had a nonprofit. She wanted to form a coalition with other nonprofits. She really thought that that was going to bring her to where she wanted to be. And we talked about it, and we talked about many of the things that you'd expect you'd talk about in psychotherapy, you know, your family of origin issues and so forth. And not to discount them, but when I went to her space, I saw the problem. It was very, very clear. She had up on her walls picture frames that were built in. She had 16 of them along one wall, and they were blank.
Well, let me understand. What effect or what's the connection between what you saw on her walls, blank picture frames, and her difficulty establishing connections with other nonprofit organizations? How's there a link there?
The link was the location of these blank picture frames. When you walked into her office, the message that you got was, this was a solo player. There were not pictures up of other organizations, of things that made you feel this woman wanted to link. They could be pictures of people. They could be pictures of anything. What was very peculiar to see 16 framed picture frames, empty picture frames up on a wall with nothing in them.
So let me understand what you're saying. You're telling me that a person's space is like a fingerprint of their psyche, of their psychological makeup. Is that what you're telling me?
Absolutely. No question.
And so now you see these empty picture frames, Catherine, and then what do you do about it?
I pointed out to her, and I pointed out other aspects of her space, which really mirrored her inner process. Because I had already delved into her inner work over our years of working together, I could see how the space mirrored what was going on with her. But with clients who I haven't worked with as a psychotherapist, and I've walked into their spaces, I am able to see through the space what their issues are. For instance, my dissertation work involved 13 psychiatrists, and one in particular had his office, even though he's located here in D.C., his office was completely decorated in Southwest decor. And in discussing with him the decor of his office, he said, well, that was where he really wanted to live and start his career, but because of circumstances, he ended up here. Now, this is interesting for me as a researcher, but what does it say to a patient who walks in? The patient is getting the message that I'd rather be somewhere else.
So here we are on the Whole Psychiatry Hour, WMET 1160 AM, talking with Catherine Morris. And Catherine, so now you see this connection with the environment and with the person's psychology, and how do you take it to the next step to cause or help facilitate change in their lives?
It happens pretty easily. The process itself has its own magic. Once people become engaged with an impartial witness, as it were, for instance, myself, and we begin looking at their space, because we don't, quote unquote, see our space, we're just in it, it serves a function for us, we go into a room, and there's a bed there, we go to sleep, we walk into our office, we pull up a chair, we sit at our desk, we begin not to see anymore the images that we have around, the clutter that we have around, the lighting. We begin to put it out of our minds. So we're no longer conscious of it, but it's still sending us messages.
Well,
so,
to take a little side tour here, clutter. Lots of us have clutter. I have clutter on my desk. Lots of us get so much mail, for example, that it just piles up. What effect does that have on a person, on their mental well-being? And how much of an effect is it?
It is an effect, and the best way for anybody to understand what the effect is just to simply go and stand in front of it. Go and stand in front of your clutter pile or piles, wherever it is, and just let your body feel. Your body never lies. Our head notoriously gives us false messages, but your body won't lie. And you'll look at it, and you'll feel a range of possible emotions. You'll feel overwhelmed. You may feel anxious. You may feel disgusted. You may feel despairing. I've never encountered anybody that feels delighted or happy. So these piles, the clutter, is constantly asking you and speaking to you, saying, do something with me, read me, file me, mail me, whatever. And these are messages that we're constantly being bombarded with, even though we think that we're not. We think that we're just sitting at our desk here. And because there are boxes tucked under our desk or behind us, we don't know that they're there. We very much do know that they're there, and the body is responding to it. So we end up with basically an energy leakage. We end up not having as much energy as we would if we walked into a space that didn't have all this competing stimuli, all of these voices saying, do this to me, take me here, do this, do that. Walk into a clean space. I do this with clients. I'll have them just clean off their desk and stand in front of it and ask them, how do they feel? Everybody to a person says, oh, I feel lighter. I feel a relief. And then we begin putting one thing at a time back on. And again, the body is a wonderful barometer. It's a wonderful tool that we have. You'll get to a point where they'll go, okay, that's it. And that's where we stop.
That's wonderful. We're here on WMET Talk Radio, the Whole Psychiatry Hour. Now, Catherine, people who have clutter on their desk have trouble separating themselves from the material. They look at the – I look at journals. I look at journal articles, and I say, gee, I'm going to read this someday. I want to read this someday. How is somebody to cope with that issue? You know, how do I let go? How do I decide to let go of these things that I find some value in? I know that I have patients who have stacks and stacks of things that they're mountains that surround them that they don't know how to let go, and they feel anxiety just at the thought of letting go of these things. What do you counsel your clients to do in that situation?
I was just at such a client's she had a home office, and when I said to her, I'm going to get a garbage bag and I'm going to take all of this out. Now, I wasn't intending to do that. I just said it so that she would come to understand how it made her feel in that moment. And in that second that I said that, she stopped breathing, just for a second. What it points to is the psychological underpinnings. So what it pointed to was that she was very anxious and fearful about getting rid of this material. And we delve into that. What is the fear? That you won't know, that you'll end up showing up someplace unprepared. There's nothing wrong with having journals or things that you want to read. But when it goes to an extreme and you have too much, it completely undermines your ability to function and get this done, because you're seeing just too much. You don't know where to start. It's overstimulating. So it's finding a balance.
Well, this is a big challenge, I have to say personally. Now, I don't have mountains in my office, but I have little hills.
Hills and dales, right.
Hills and dales, although the dales are getting filled up. We're talking here on WMET Talk Radio 1160, the Whole Psychiatry Hour, with Catherine Morris, as she shares with us some more amazing insights into how space and setting affect our mental health. And Catherine is talking about the clutter that we all live with and how to cope with it. And when we come back, we're going to get some concrete answers about some things that you can actually do in your home and your office to lighten your space and to free your mind up. And Catherine will share some of her stories with us and let us know what other effects space can have on psyche, what other effects space can have on health, on physical health and mental health. This, I believe, is a under-recognized area of our mental health that affects us on an instinctual level in ways that we are really not aware of. So hang in there with us, and we'll be back shortly with the Whole Psychiatry Hour on WMET, 1160 AM Talk Radio, when we'll be talking with Catherine Morris, the host of the Voice America show, If These Walls Could Talk.
How much would you pay for valuable news and information that could help you get ahead in business, invest smarter, increase your income, and lower your taxes? How about 38 cents a day? That's all it costs to get the Wall Street Journal. Imagine 8 weeks free delivery for 50% off the regular subscription rate. Millions of readers rely on the Wall Street Journal for the important business news and in-depth feature reporting they need on investments, taxes, new technologies, marketing strategies, and more. The Wall Street Journal puts it all within your reach. Subscribe now and get 8 weeks of the Wall Street Journal for only 38 cents a day. That's 50% off the regular rate. This limited time offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S. only.
Call now, 800-431-7700. That's 800-431-7700 for the Wall Street Journal, Adventures in Capitalism.
Homeowners, if your resolution for 2006 is to save more money, how about reducing your mortgage payment up to 35%? It's easy with Quicken Loans. Just write down this number, 800-316-5711. Quicken Loans can show you how to cut your mortgage payment up to 35% so you can make your money work harder, like paying off high-interest credit card bills, affording home improvements, or increasing your retirement savings. Just call 800-316-5711. With over 150 exclusive loan products, the mortgage experts at Quicken Loans have something for you. This could be the most valuable call you make all year. Find out how you can cut your monthly mortgage payment up to 35%. Call Quicken Loans now at 800-316-5711. 800-316-5711. Quicken Loans, America's home loan experts. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. Call 800-316-5711.
Some look up to the Man of Steel and others follow lines in a web. But I look up to my real life icon, my dad. And calling him anything less than Greg would be misguided. In his warm arms, I confided all of my fears. And as my time to rear others grows near, I'm reminded that women marry men just like their fathers. And I hope that's true. Anything less, might as well not even bother.
A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative, the Ad Council, and this radio station. Visit fatherhood.org for more information. Have you been a dad today?
The only place in Washington to hear the voices of Fox Radio. Talk Radio, WMET 1160, your station for Tony Snow. Weekday mornings, 9 to noon. Alan Combs, late nights from 10 to 1. Grease Man in the morning. J.D. Ballard at noon. G. Gordon Liddy at 2. Linda Chavez at 4. And Bauer and Rose at 6. Intelligent talk with a splash of grease. Talk Radio, WMET 1160. Online at WMET1160.com.
This is the Whole Psychiatry Hour on WMET 1160. Here again is your host, Dr. Bob Hedaya.
Welcome to the Whole Psychiatry Hour at WMET Talk Radio 1160. I'm your host, Bob Hedaya. Remember, the Whole Psychiatry Hour is the only place for you to get the real unbiased lowdown on mental health. We're talking with Catherine Morris, the founder of Psychology of Setting Associates and the host of the Voice America radio show, If These Walls Could Talk. Catherine, we were just talking about clutter in people's homes. And if you could give our listeners a couple of cues or ideas about what they can do, practical ideas about what they can do about clutter. And then I want to talk about some other issues that I think our listeners will be fascinated by. What do you have to say?
I have not to say much because I would just add to their clutter. People are funny. When I go into their space and they have a lot of clutter, they tend to want more clutter from me. You know, they want to take 10 pages of notes. So I tell them very little. Because I'm not going to contribute to their problem further. I mean, they're just stimulation junkies. So they're never sure. Well, I might need this someday, and so forth. So what I do is ask them. I tell them to set aside a certain amount of time. Just put it in their schedule if they can do that. Put it in their schedule, 10 minutes a day, and attend to one area of clutter, and basically pick up each item. And ask themselves, what is my motivation for having this?
Can you give us an example?
Sure. A mixed pile of some magazines and some books. So a person would pick up the book and say, well, what is my motivation for having this book now? And genuinely answer it. The answer might be, well, you know, if I read this book, then I would be more topical when I'm around my friends or clients. I can sort of drop the name of this book and say, oh, yes, well, I've just read, you know, Tom Hartman's latest book and blah, 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 blah. So that motivation is not really going to be strong enough to have you set aside the time to do it. If you pick up a paper and say, oh, this is my child's tuition bill. I better pay it or she's going to get kicked out of school. That's a stronger motivation. It's a clearer motivation. And then you're going to act on that. That's a piece of paper you do want.
I see. Okay. So that's a good way of gauging what you need to do and whether you're really going to act on these pieces of paper or this clutter or whether they're just going to sit there and pull your energy down. This is the Whole Psychiatry Hour, WMET 1160. So, Catherine, tell us how you can use the psychology of setting concepts when, say, you're going to your doctor's office or even your psychotherapist's office.
Right. This is a very good question. And patients are always interested when I ask them, what is your therapist's office like or what's your doctor's office like? And they are so eager to share it with me because in both the field of psychotherapy, for the most part, and the medical field, this is not something that gets put on the table for discussion. Psychotherapists that I have interviewed are very reluctant to engage a discussion about their setting because they feel that it's almost a personal invasion. And there's something that in my studies, in my work with psychotherapists and psychiatrists, what they end up finding out is their true feelings towards their patients and towards their work. And sometimes it's not always as wonderful as we'd like it to be.
So you're actually saying that a patient who can read their doctor's office can actually look into the psyche of their therapist or doctor?
Right. And they may not care to look into the psyche. Basically, what the value of looking in a doctor's office or a psychotherapist's office would be to see what ends up happening to you. What do you end up talking about or not talking about with the practitioner? Because the office is cueing you. For instance, one practitioner did both legal work and psychological work, psychiatrist. Half of his office was sort of devoted to psychotherapy. It was a nice sofa, a comfortable chair for the patient, and a chair that he sat in. The other side had legal documents piled all over the place, legal books all over the place. The signal to the patient is that the doctor's energy and focus is really more on this other work. And some patients may end up feeling like what they have to say isn't as important, that there's so much work that's visible that the doctor has to be doing, that maybe, you know, they're going to have to speak quickly, they're going to have to be interesting, they're going to have to compete with all of this other material that is there waiting and calling for the doctor's attention and energy.
So let me be concrete. I, as a patient, walk into a psychiatrist's office looking for help. I see a desk or a couple of desks piled high with documents. Should I leave?
No, you shouldn't leave, but you can begin pointing it out. Naming things is just magical. So if you said to the physician, gee whiz, I see that you have all of these piles here, and I just wonder if you're able to focus on my needs at this point in time because you have all of these other things which are of equal interest to you and of great importance to you, I'm sure, because you want to keep current or maybe it's correspondence. I don't know what's there. But I'm having a sibling rivalry reaction to this material, and I just wanted to name that.
Well, that's really a big leap for a lot of people to do, and I think what you're talking about is really turning things on their head. You know, the patient comes into the office and they're passive, generally waiting to be treated or taken care of. You're talking about them using the information in order to actually put it back to the doctor and say, hey, what's the deal here? What's the reality? Have some accountability. I'm not just going to sit here in a vulnerable way. I think that's fantastic.
Thanks.
You're welcome. So how about anything else you want to mention about doctor's offices, or should we go on to people's homes?
Let's go into people's homes, yeah.
Okay, so tell us, here we are on Whole Psychiatry Hour, WMET 1160, talking with Catherine Morris. And tell us, Catherine, about people's bedrooms, people's living spaces, and what do you look for in those places, in their homes, and how those things, the things that you see, have an effect on mental health and mental well-being?
Good question. One of the things that – the way I start, I have what I call the Morris approach. And what I start with is the same thing that I would start with if I were doing psychotherapy. And I sort of am called the setting shrink for this reason. I ask people, how are their lives? You know, how's their work life? How's their love life? How's their family life? How's their health? I start with them. We have a myriad of challenges. We all do. Nobody has a perfect life. And it's for the person themselves to determine what priority they want to affix to the different issues in front of them. I may see that their bedroom is in a certain state of affairs. Their living room table looks a certain way.
You mean they're having affairs? You can tell if they're having affairs?
Yes, I actually can tell if they're having affairs, and that's a different story. Maybe you'll invite me back and we'll discuss that. Right. But in a bedroom, for instance, one of the things that I would see in a bedroom, assuming that the client said to me, oh, you know, I'm not as energetic as I used to be, or I'm not doing that well at work, my love life isn't that great. Whatever their issue is, sleep is very important to all of us, regardless. If you're not sleeping well, it's very hard to function well in these other areas of your life. So I always look at the bedroom first and foremost as a place of respite. Are they getting refreshed every night? If the bedroom has all kinds of electronic gear, television, computers that are staring them in the face, lots of books, basically sources of stimulus, whatever that is for people. It could be that they make kites, it doesn't matter, and they have all the materials like for making kites in their bedroom. If the bedroom is too stimulating, they are not going to be sleeping well there. Essentially, the bedroom is a place of rest and a place of intimacy. And so there should be things in the bedroom which support that, which facilitate that. And not a workspace, not a craft space, not a play space. It has a specific purpose, and it should be used for that. Now, if people have to use their bedroom because of space limitations, best to cover the electronics, put them out of sight.
That's good advice. So the setting in your bedroom can affect your mental well-being while you're sleeping and recovering from your day and recuperating for your next day. We're talking here with Catherine Morris, the host on Voice America, If These Walls Could Talk. Catherine, it's been a pleasure having you here as our guest, and I think you've added to our perspective on the diverse factors that can help and affect our mental health. In a couple of minutes, I'm going to explain the age-old question of the mind-body debate. Is it in your head, or is it in your body? Stay tuned to the Whole Psychiatry Hour, WMET Talk Radio 1160. I'm Bob Hedaya, your host, and we'll be back in just a short minute.
The following is an urgent message for all inventors. Who cashed in on your last great idea? Do you have another invention? Do you need a patent? Then you need InventTech.
Everyone laughed at my pot that cooked and drained pasta. If I had the patent, I'd be rich.
Snap your fingers, turn on the light. That was my idea, but I never thought to get a patent.
Don't let this happen to you. You may have a great idea, but unless you protect it, anyone can take it and keep the profits. That's why you need to call InventTech now. We'll send you a free inventor's kit, and you'll receive our free video or DVD with your confidential submission. Call 1-800-326-5757.
Cleaning with citrus was my little secret. I never patented it. Boy, was that dumb.
Don't let someone else cash in on your great idea. Call InventTech now for a free inventor's kit. Call 1-800-326-5757. Call 1-800-326-5757.
Attention men and women suffering from hair loss. Now, with Avacor, a world leader in hair regrowth, you don't have to be bald, even if you have a family history of hair loss. Here's Dr. Mark Goodman, board-certified dermatologist.
The main reason for thinning hair and baldness is hereditary hair loss. Just because there is a family history of hair loss doesn't mean you have to suffer. Avacor is specially formulated to reverse hereditary hair loss and regrow new healthy hair. Our formula targets the hair follicle to effectively stop hair loss and stimulate new hair growth. Before you consider expensive transplant surgery, remember, Avacor is FDA approved to regrow new healthy hair for men and women.
We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Call 800-449-8917. That's 800-449-8917. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Call 800-449-8917. That's 800-449-8917.
That's the Big Dipper over there.
Yellow and blue make green.
Well, a cow pie really isn't a pie.
Come on, Riff, open your eyes!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
Tune in. Log on. Stay connected. From anywhere in the world. Talk Radio WMET 1160. Your station for talk. Is online at WMET1160.com. Get caught up on the latest news. Check out the program schedule. Post your comments to the WMET blog. And whether you're sitting in the office or you're on the road on business, you can listen live to Greaseman, Tony Snow, J.D. Ballard, G. Gordon Liddy, Linda Chavez, and Bauer and Rose. It's all online at WMET1160.com.
Welcome back to the Whole Psychiatry Hour on WMET 1160. Here again is your host, Dr. Bob Hedaya.
Welcome back to the Whole Psychiatry Hour at WMET Talk Radio 1160. I'm your host, Bob Hedaya, MD. Remember, the Whole Psychiatry Hour is the only place for you to get the real, unbiased lowdown on mental health. Send me your questions, comments, suggestions, and yes, even your complaints. I want to hear from all of you. You can reach me at www.wholepsych.com. I want to spend some time making a very important connection for you, and that's the connection between attitudes, emotions, and health. We've all heard it said, oh, he's sick, but it's all in his head. He always complains. It's just that he's not happy with his life. There's nothing wrong with him, really. Or, well, she got cancer a year after her husband died. So the question comes up, when is it in your head and when is it in the body? Are psychosomatic illnesses just a state of mind? Is there really a separation between the mind and the body, between the head and the body? Does stress really kill? To answer this age-old question, I first want to tell you what happened to me shortly after I went into private practice in 1983. A woman, I'll call her Joanne, came to see me with panic attacks. She would have a sudden episode of feeling terrified for no reason, and this was accompanied by shortness of breath, chest pain, numbness, tingling, dizziness and sweating. Just imagine how she felt. Within minutes, the panic would pass, but Joanne was left drained and dreading the next attack. She could think of no rhyme or reason for these horrible attacks, and they were ruining her life. Joanne thought she was going crazy. She never had these symptoms before, and she was desperate for help, so she came to me. As it turned out, Joanne was in a marriage that wasn't so great. She had been married about 25 years, and her only child was going off to college, so I thought that it was simply a case of separation anxiety, fear of her family falling apart, you know, the empty nest syndrome. I figured with some cognitive therapy and some medication if necessary, she would be fine in no time. After 1 year of therapy and medication, on a Saturday night, I can still remember it, she paged me in the midst of a panic attack, and suddenly a light went off in my head. She should be better now, I thought, and so Monday morning I went into the office, reviewed her chart, looking for clues. Why wasn't she better? I saw one of the lab tests I had done. It was a complete blood count, often called a CBC, which showed that the size of her red blood cells was very slightly larger than normal. I had noted it when I first saw her, but since it was just slightly out of the normal range, and frankly, I didn't really know what it meant anyway, and I was not trained to pay attention to it, I ignored it. I thought I had all the answers by virtue of my training. Now I researched it and found that it could be related to a B12 deficiency. I decided to test Joanne further for this possibility, and she sure enough came out deficient in B12. I gave her B12 injections, and her panic cleared up in days. I was shocked. And that led me to wonder what else I was missing with my patients. Of course, this led me to the study of hormones, diet, nutrition, allergy, immunity, the whole psychiatry concept. I realized an amazing fact, maybe obvious to you, that the head is connected to the body by this thing called the neck. Well, as it turns out, more than 60 years of research, and of course the common sense of our grandparents, indicates that emotion is the crucial driving force in a chain of events that leads from psychosocial interaction, how we relate to people, what our life is like, to changes in our immune system, the gastrointestinal tract, the hormones, the nervous system. It's really like a set of dominoes. Once the first domino falls, all these other systems get into the act. Over time, our entire body suffers the consequences, and that's why, in part, symptoms of depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorders, and even schizophrenia are associated with heart disease, arthritis, dementia, osteoporosis, chronic pain, diabetes, and even cancer. That's right. There is a strong link between mental health disorders and all of these chronic illnesses that we all are concerned about in this society. So there's no way around it. The mind and the body, the culture and the mind, it's all linked. That is what research shows. And to think that we can effectively treat most mental health problems with pills and therapy alone is nothing less than ignorance. If I can emphasize just one thing on the whole psychiatry hour, it's this. There is no separation between our culture, our politics, our attitudes, our mind, our emotions, our bodily functions, and our health. There is no separation between the mind and the body. It's a simple truth, and we will all have to reckon with it one way or another. If we face it or we ignore it, it is a reality. All right. I'm off my soapbox for a few minutes anyway. I want to spend the last of our moments talking, as I do each week, about a specific supplement. I know that many of you are health conscious and would not be listening to the whole psychiatry hour here on WMET 1160 if you weren't. I suspect that many of you may read any of a number of prevention magazines. Maybe you've heard about something called phosphorylated serine, which is branded as NeuroPS, PS100, or phosphatidylserine. Let me repeat those names for you. Phosphorylated serine, PHOS, PHORYLATED, phosphorylated serine, which is branded as NeuroPS, PS100, or phosphatidylserine. If you take this supplement, I would suggest you take phosphorylated serine, not phosphatidylserine, as it's less expensive generally and it's better in quality. But more important than that is, what is this supplement about and what are the benefits potentially to you and what are the downsides? This supplement can be useful for people who can't sleep through the night, Often people who cannot sleep through the night have elevated levels of the hormone cortisol. Cortisol is made by your adrenal glands, the stress glands in your body. They're like little almond-shaped glands sitting on top of your kidneys. And when you're stressed, the adrenal glands release adrenaline. And if you're stressed over a long period of time, they release cortisol. And cortisol is really necessary for life, but too much cortisol actually can cause lots of health problems, including weight gain, diabetes, brittle bones. And in the case that we're talking about now, it can cause you to have difficulty sleeping at night. You see, normally our cortisol levels are lowest at night, and they start to rise about 4 a.m. So we have our peak levels of cortisol at 8 in the morning. Some people who are stressed and have vulnerability to this and can't sleep have elevated levels of cortisol at night. Since one of the functions of cortisol is to wake you up in the morning, high levels of cortisol at night will keep you awake. Now, there are other causes, things that can cause you to remain awake, but high cortisol is certainly one of the major ones. High levels of cortisol are unhealthy. So if your cortisol is high at night, then using phosphorylated serine makes sense. Just be careful that you need it and that you don't take too much, since it can lower your cortisol levels too much, and then you can have inflammation, arthritis, headaches, trouble thinking, and fatigue. So it's important, as with all supplements and really anything in life, it's an issue of moderation. The first question is, do I need it? And the second question is, what dosage? And try to be moderate. If you're still interested in taking phosphorylated serine, my advice to anyone considering its use is to have a test called a salivary cortisol test. It's a very simple test that you can do at home, giving saliva at 8 in the morning, about 11 o'clock, about 4 o'clock, and 11 p.m. And this will show the pattern of cortisol and whether your cortisol is elevated at night. It can be performed by your healthcare practitioner, and he or she can help you obtain this test. If it shows elevated cortisol levels at night, then phosphorylated serine use makes sense. Otherwise, you may be playing with fire. So that's it for today's Whole Psychiatry Hour here on WMET Talk Radio. Remember, what we discussed during this hour is for educational purposes only. If you decide to take your health into your own hands, that is wonderful. As Catherine Morris told us on the show today, it's important to be proactive when you address your healthcare practitioners. Just make sure you work with a qualified professional, someone you trust, as we are all individuals, both in body and in mind, and your healthcare must be tailored to your body, your life, your mind. Hope you've learned something today and look forward to being with you next Sunday at 11 a.m. on Talk Radio WMET 1160 with the Whole Psychiatry Hour, when we will have two guests with groundbreaking perspectives. Again, you can contact me at wholepsych.com. This is your host, Dr. Robert Hedaya, reminding you to trust your body and your mind's instinct towards balance and health. Remain focused on your goals, not your obstacles, and they will be yours.
Medical advice, opinions, and the references cited are for information only and are not intended to diagnose or prescribe. For your specific diagnosis and treatment, consult your personal doctor or healthcare provider.